The Witch's Apples. Once on the road, a young monk met a young devil and decided to determine who was more dashing and stronger. It's hard to say now whether they looked at each other the wrong way or whether the conflict was determined by ideological differences. Both were young, so they began resolving it right there in the meadow through physical violence. They wrestled and grappled for a long time, but couldn't defeat one another. The devil tried to stab the monk with his horns and strangle him with his tail, while the monk kept sticking his little cross everywhere, which blinded and burned the imp. Tired and worn out, with swollen faces and gaps in their collections of teeth, they decided that wrestling would not help, and they needed to try something else. Then the monk said,
"Nearby lives a witch. She has orchards with apple trees reaching the sky. They're covered with the finest apples. The orchard is fenced in with high fences and curses. Let's agree, whoever first picks a bucket of apples wins."
"All right,"
agreed the devil, scratching the spots burned by crosses from his scalp to his behind. The monk's and the devil's wrestling was even recorded in the local chronicle. It says that during confession, an anonymous person informed the priest that two suspicious young men had been rolling and grunting in a meadow for several days. The priest gathered the town's men. Some brought bundles of firewood, some whole logs on wagons, liquor and snacks, and with their wives and children went to restore local morality. In the fields, the crowd found only trampled grass. To at least compensate for the wasted time, they beat the anonymous man who had blackened the priest's authority, and in doing so, lost his right to confession secrecy. Then all went their separate ways. No one in the land remembered where the witch came from. Near a dark forest stood a crooked hut and a large orchard, fenced with a tall barrier and thorny bushes. Birds flew around her land in a wide arc, and animals walked around it. Only rarely would villagers find the corpse of some stray beast near a broken part of the fence. Because of this, a settlement began forming nearby. People felt safe from wolves and bears of all kinds, which in other regions sometimes would snatch children and carry them off. The witch herself worked with herbs and didn't speak the human tongue. In times of great trouble or illness, she would sometimes suddenly appear like a ghost and pull the suffering one from death's jaws by pouring down strange brews. Everyone feared the witch and never dared to go borrow salt from her. Children were forbidden to approach lest some misfortune happen to them, like to those forest animals. Brave children would throw stones at her only from afar, and she would respond with incomprehensible shrieks and curses. Since the children didn't fall ill from that, parents tolerated such behavior from the witch. Only whispered thoughts arose that perhaps it would be better not to take risks and to burn her down along with her hut. The monk and devil immediately got to work. They tried climbing over the fence and digging underneath. From nearest treetops, they tried flying over with self-made wings. Nothing helped. The witch would notice them instantly. She'd rush out of her hut with a broom and chase them like a mole after a worm. When she caught up, she'd snatch the apples and toss the empty bucket back over the fence. The devil with the monk barely carried out their hides. Then the witch would stand howling in rage and making signs. She'd point at the trees and the ground, wave a shovel, and mime how she'd bury them. The monk and devil forgot their ideological dispute. They decided to exhaust the hag physically by taking turns. While one slept, the other kept her from closing her eyes. After a week, the old woman was so worn out that not even the energetic herbs she was clearly guzzling, helped. She collapsed from exhaustion in her hut's doorway and began to snore. Then the monk and devil picked a full bucket of apples, pulled flasks of booze from their satchels, and began enjoying themselves right there by the fence. Drunk, they sang until nightfall and shared their proudest memories of stealing those apples. They showed each other their bruises and welts from the broom with pride. Both agreed that, setting aside ideological differences, more could be achieved together. In the morning, the witch's roaring woke the entire village. Villagers ran over and saw that the two had already been cursed. They lay dead, twisted in horrific poses with faces contorted by suffering. Nearby lay an empty bucket, drained bottles of alcohol, and apple cores. People understood that the two had provoked the witch themselves. But the horror and outrage over how she could kill such handsome young men was greater. Even though one of them had horns, hooves, and was entirely red, that only made him more appealing to the local women. They'd heard tales of aristocratic beasts in castles with talking teapots, who just needed to be fixed and have a ring slipped onto their claw. The villagers decided that patience had its limits. They seized the witch, stuffed one of her own apples into her mouth so she couldn't curse, tied a stone to her neck, and drowned her right there in the lake. Everyone breathed easier and decided to hold a festival celebrating liberation from darkness. Young and old took part. They danced, sang, drank beer and mead. Without fear, they dug up her gardens, trampled her witchy herbs, picked and ate apples from the trees, baked apple pies, made apple juice, pressed apple cheese. They shared with each other and the children. Even the pigs in their pens were treated. The forbidden orchard's bounty was at last available to the whole world. Joy knew no bounds. The village elders declared that there was no need to fear witches, for they weren't so scary after all. They also announced they would build a monument to the monk and the devil, and every year the village would gather for a witch-defeating and apple-eating festival. A festive mood filled the air. The sun shone. It seemed even the birds began to chirp. People talked about that village for a long time, once the news spread about what had happened there. Word got out when a wandering traveler found it strewn with horribly mangled corpses and not a single living soul. A dispatched royal commission discovered that the mute and deaf granny was just a simple herbalist. She had tried to protect the locals from eating the apples, for they brought death with their poison. They found that a large part of the orchard had already been cut down. But she could not, on her own, overcome the rapidly growing giants. People turned their heads. Why she kept it a secret and didn't ask for help. But later, when the king had the trees dug up and taken away, and his adversaries, along with those who asked similar questions, began dropping like flies in every corner, they stopped actively showing interest. The apples later resurfaced when the queen fed them to the king and tried to poison his daughter Snow White, who lived with seven dwarfs. But that is another story.